Good morning and welcome to the Grace Hour Show, our special musicless introduction today. We're getting right to the word. It's a special day today. We have joining me in the studio today is Jesse Fires. We're excited about that. Pastor Barry Quirk. The Grace Hour, as you know, is a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges, helps us learn our faith in a practical way. And that's what we're here doing this week. This week has been on balance in the Christian's life, and we've had some good topics already this week. Today's topics are also good. We're talking about antinomianism versus legalism. Say that five times fast. And we're going to just have a discussion about that today. And Jesse, it's great to have you here in the studios with us.
It's great to be here.
Yes. Yes.
Hey,
awesome.
I just want to say every time I see you, you just fire me up. I get very excited. I want to play football or something. And you give me that kind of vibe. That's awesome. So yeah.
That's awesome. I'll keep that in mind. If we need some work done, we'll just jump in front of here. So, you know, these are topics this week. We've been talking about balances, living in Christian balance. And, you know, as believers, when we get saved, maybe we're very zealous. I had an interesting experience recently. We went and visited some family friends that I had since I was a little boy. We went to our old neighborhood, and I visited my best friend growing up. I visited his parents, and they're in their 80s, and they were still living in the same house. And they were active in a particular church in the Regents, Massachusetts, one of the more popular religions of Massachusetts. You can figure that out. And you know, my friend's father was a deacon in the church. And I remember when we heard the message of the gospel, which happened to us through telephone time, which was, the father version of the Grace Hour. And
did you have one of those spinny dials too as well?
We did. We had rotary phones. Those are called rotary phones. Great generation gap going on here this morning. But when we heard the message of the gospel, and my parents used to do their gardening in the backyard with the big Wi-Fi speakers, and it would crank out, Fiddler on the Roof, and then it would stop when it was time for telephone time, and I would hear Pastor Stephen's voice coming across. And as a result of that show, my parents decided to get into the ministry. They went to visit Framingham, heard the message, and 2 weeks we moved to Lenox. So, wow. But why am I telling you that story? Well, I had these friends who, once we became believers, I understood what grace was really about and salvation, and I made a beeline over to these friends' house and told them, at 9 years old, why everything they had been taught in the Catholic Church was not valid. But
wow.
So anyways, I was very zealous as a 9 year old. I was not well taught, but I was zealous. And I'm just, this is one of those things that as we're growing in our faith, and we've all had experiences where we've grown in our faith, we can be zealous, and as we get taught, we start to understand the character and nature of God. And maybe we realize that not everything that we thought is correct, but also there's something really awesome about that zealous salvation experience, isn't it? And that we have, our faith is big, because God is big. So today we're talking about, a couple of different aspects of faith, legalism, antinomianism. They're both kind of a different bent, but they both involve a zealous faith. So what do you think about that?
Yeah. Let's say we could talk about legalism first.
Yeah.
Right. So the basis of legalism is, I understand the law, but I believe it's benefited me where I could achieve it and kind of get righteousness from it because I obey it and I'm such a good person.
Yeah.
And so there's that point. Wow. To think that I could gain or earn something to please God.
Yeah.
Is very interesting. So what would your simple definition maybe be of legalism?
Yeah. So I think you hit it on the head that I could gain something. It's kind of the insistence that a person is accepted by God on the basis of his ability to keep the law, right? So to the degree that I can keep the law, that's what will please God. And that's what drives me into continuing in the law day in and day out, that I think I'm achieving something before God. And it's really kind of a dangerous philosophy, isn't it? That legalism, you know, we know of stories in the Bible, the Galatians, for instance, right? The Galatians are saved by grace, and then how quickly they are bewitched into thinking that the law was what was saving them, right? And the question gets asked, oh, foolish Galatians, you know, how are you so easily bewitched that you would change your mind? You know, was it by legalism that you were saved, or was it a gift of grace, right? So, yeah, legalism, I would say in a short definition, is that we think that we can somehow be declared righteous by God because of our own well-doing. But what do we know about our own righteousness? It is
filthy.
It's filthy, right? Yeah. Anything that we try to achieve, we fall short of the glory of God. I mean, Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and verse 23, there's none righteous, not one, right? Mm-hmm. So here's the question. How could God say, you know, like, isn't there a direction of an obedience to God that would cause us to operate a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. That's not lawless? Because when we talk about legalism, you know, another approach is antinomianism, which what does that say?
Yeah. So that's like fully putting away the law, that after what Christ fulfilled the law, now I have no need of the law at all.
Yeah.
And maybe we could say that's true with justification, right?
Yeah.
Because we're justified by Christ and Christ alone.
Yes.
But then it's like, oh, now I could do whatever. This is the antinomianism mindset. Because I'm saved by grace, now I could go and do whatever I feel like it.
Yes.
And I don't have to live by the law. You know, I don't have to do any of these things. I can live how I want.
Yeah.
Interesting, like, way. But they use grace. So, like, how does one determine, you know, whether it's true grace or it's just like grace where, like, what?
You know, the good,
something's missing. Yeah.
The amazing thing about this is we're not saying that either camp is the correct camp, right?
Correct.
As a matter of fact, we're talking about balance, being walking neither in being legalistic in our thinking that we can please God with our own efforts, or that our lawlessness is okay because the grace of God has taken care of everything and we don't have to worry about it anymore, right? So we're talking about walking in neither of those, but walking in balance, which ultimately, it's going to come down to walking in the Spirit, and we'll get into that maybe here in a few minutes. The thought, and we were talking a little bit earlier off the air, but maybe Jude chapter 4 is a good example, or Jude 1:4.
1:4.
that verse says something interesting. It says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and the only Jesus Christ." So they took what teaching was supposed to be, you know, making us free from the law of sin and death, and use it as an excuse to live in sin and death. So I think it's really an interesting concept. They both have their root in Adam. It's Adam nature, right? And, you know, the question kind of gets asked, well, why, you know, once we understand the difference between lawlessness and clinging to the law, and we understand that we're saying we don't want to, we're not promoting one over the other. We're saying that both have their origin in, in Adam. Yet there is walking in righteousness, right? There is walking in truth. There is faith obedience. There is the message of the law is something that's, it's not an unhealthy message, right? What does the Bible say about the law?
What's the purpose of the law? The law is to really show us, that we're not capable, but also the law was, it's Romans 5:13 is the law is shown so that sin would be like shown in our lives in simple terms.
Yeah.
Like it shows me like, wow, I cannot, you know, achieve. I need help.
Yeah.
I need a savior. I'm not where, like, I'm not a righteous person, whatever.
Yeah.
You could say all these things.
Yeah.
And so, like, the law is so important that it brings that out.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why is it important to know that I'm a sinner, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think there's two parts. You talked about justification, right?
Yeah.
Justification, it's a God thing, mm-hmm. right? We are justified because of what God did, his shed yeah. blood, right? Mm-hmm. But what about sanctification?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Isn't that a part of the equation as well?
Yeah.
We're justified and then we're sanctified, right? You know, sanctification, we maybe can get that the wrong idea about that. But I think growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, yes. right? It's mm-hmm. a process.
Yes.
We are, you know, in our position once and for all made holy. We can say we are perfect in the eyes of God. We're part of that spotless bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. And in our experience on our day-to-day basis, you know, he's still working on me. Mm-hmm. This is like an amazing thing that he's still working on me. So I think I can learn from the fact that grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, right? But why does it teach me to deny ungodliness? Is that a condition of my salvation? No. Mm-hmm. How about this statement, Jesse? You know, let's go out and fight sin. We can fight sin. Do we need to fight sin?
No.
It's already been dealt with, yes. right? The battle against sin has been dealt with.
Mm.
But should I bother walking in truth? You know, why should I walk in truth? Why should I mean, what do you think? Does God have a call for our lives that we would walk in truth, and why?
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's like the law came by Moses, right? And then in First John 1, grace and truth, you know, you got the grace part and the antinomianism's leaving out the truth part.
Yes.
You know, he brought grace, yes, and that's great. But then there's truth too as well, because Paul said that I delight in the law. What was it? What am I thinking of? I delight in the law that's after the inward man.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, because it's, in a way, the law stings me, like, like it really bothers me in a way, like, because I can't match up to it,
right?
Which is good, you know. When right. I should, when we go to people on the streets and we show them the law, they should be like, "I don't like this God," in a way, right? And it's like, yes, why? Yeah. Because you're understanding you cannot fulfill it, and so you're on the right track. There's other people who would, you know, could say, "Oh, just be a good person." And I'm like, show me that law where yeah. it says that in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Because that's not. But the law is a beautiful thing, and we can, like, distort it, and we do it with so many things. But to know that, like, we are incapable of doing things on our own. And, yeah, that Paul was saying, I delight in the law of the inward man.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it's an inward work, you know? And why is it inward? Because it's the flesh. It's, like, going through the flesh. It's not... It's crucifying the flesh.
Mm.
It's against it. And mm-hmm. so that's why I think, one, the legalistic, they kind of cling to it and, like, I got to perform. I got to strive. I got to do this. And the other side is, like, forget it at all. It's no use. It's no important to me. And then they're not growing.
Yeah.
Neither of them are growing. They're left in bondage, really,
mm-hmm.
both of them.
Well, this is a great point because we're talking about balance, right?
Yes.
So, what is it that causes me to be able to walk in balance? I would say the more that we get to know Jesus Christ personally, right? We yes. know that he is righteous in every way. So, you know, what the law represents, you know, he didn't come to break the law. He came to fulfill the law,
mm-hmm.
right? He's the only one capable of keeping the law.
Yeah.
And our relationship with him is understanding who he is perfectly, right? And who I am is not Jesus Christ, but I've been made holy. I've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we see this message of, let's say, the Apostle Paul that says, by grace alone, right? And then
mm-hmm.
the book of James, we see, you know, it's yeah. by works, right? And we say, okay, well, how do those two... How do they agree with each other? And we know they agree with each other very much. They're actually dealing with these specific topics. They're kind of fighting back to back the same message against two different things. In Paul's world, the legalistic viewpoint was, you know, if you don't do, then you don't have salvation. And he's saying, listen, salvation is by grace in Ephesians chapter 2. Salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man boasts. And then on the other hand, in James, who's dealing with the Gnostics, who are saying, you know, he's saying, if there's no fruit in your life, then you don't have salvation, right? And it's not the fruit that's the salvation, but salvation is fruit of, or the works are fruit of a life that's hidden in Christ. So when we get to know God and we know that our own righteousness is as filthy rags, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? But then that grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and gives us the opportunity to walk in his upper righteousness. And we find delight in the inward man when we're walking in truth. We're walking in, this is exactly what you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
Like Paul's delight, you know, just like the psalmist says, you know, that my heart is fixed, right? Well, what is it fixed on? Is it fixed on good works? Is it fixed on only looking at grace as a reason why I don't have to walk in truth on a daily basis? Or is it saying, I want to be fixed on a relationship with God that gives me the opportunity to walk daily, right? Why do we learn doctrine? You know, doctrine teaches us how to think in the details of our life, how to navigate through life in the details of our life. So I think this balance is an important topic.
Yeah. What would you say? So like the with grace plus nothing message, right? Yeah, like it's true.
Absolutely.
So how does grace reprove, rebuke, correct, you know, because I could see like, okay, I have grace.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, I'm almost fearful of these Timothy, these Paul kind of teachings where it's kind of hard, but needed. I think there's, I see sometimes in my personal life and just a lack of that. Sometimes I need that correction, though, to keep me on track. And it's out of grace. It's from grace. It's from love, but it's so needed. And recently there was a brother who, you know, going through his life, and but another friend came along like maybe years later and like sat him down and said, hey, like, I see what you're doing. And he's coming because they know each other, and he's coming through with grace and love through him. And he needed that, like, just that wake up, that shake up, that correction. Just like, hey, like, I see what you're doing. And just like, I'm coming to you to say, like, hey, you need some correction. Like, what is the balance of that?
Well, I mean, what is exhortation? Exhortation is not me standing on my holy horse and telling you why you're wrong, right? Exhortation is me coming alongside of you, putting my arm around you and saying, what do we know about our salvation? Like, we're really reminding each other of the redemption that we have through the grace of God.
Yes.
The grace of God is not lasciviousness, right? This is what Jude chapter 4 made it. There were men who took the grace of God in name and turned it into lascivious behavior and said, hey, if we're saved and we're not under the law, then we can live lawless. You know, but the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness, right? It teaches us to walk in truth and things. You know, I like this thought. We talk sometimes about being filled with the Spirit and also be not drunk with much wine whereunto excess, right? Like these two thoughts. And we say, and even the fact that liquor is called spirits, you know, it's interesting to me because those spirits can't occupy the same spot at the same time. You know, you can't be walking in the Holy Spirit, and this will be controversial, and folks today are our screens are out, our ability to we can't see your comments. We don't even know if you're able to make comments or phone calls. Are they able to call in today, Mr. Producer?
You can't
even call in, so we can say controversial things.
You can send me a text. My number is 95.
His number is 1-800-CALL-JESSE. So, you know, we could say that those spirits, right? The spirits that occupy, you know, and we would say, why do people drink? Well, they drink to forget, right? They drink to put aside their earthly pressures and troubles and details. But at the end of the day, do they come back with the same pressures and details? They do. And when they're no longer buzzed, they enter into that world again. The Holy Spirit is actually occupying something that not only you know, am I occupied with it? But it's dealing with the issues. I'm putting the pressure of life on the shoulders of God, and I'm choosing to let him lift that burden off of me. Right. Does that mean that I don't stop, you know, walking in truth? No, of course not. It's the balance of life is I walk in truth. I walk in righteousness. And I like the fact that exhortation is somebody saying to me, hey, listen, God's delivered us from these things. Why are we walking in that muck and mire? Right. But at the same time, it comes from a person who's fully foundation in grace and understands that it's only the grace of God that I can talk to you. It's not my righteousness.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You can't take out, you know, when you have a mole in your eye, you know, take out yours first before going to another brethren. So
yeah.
I think that's, you know, that point you're saying, just it really comes from the Holy Spirit. You got to be spirit led with that, but it's so needed too, as well. And like for us not to be afraid of that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I think first and foremost, you have to have a relationship with that person. I can't just go to someone and say, hey, and you're just going to really, you know, tick them off in the wrong way.
Yeah. I mean, really, people kind of give us permission in their lives through, you know, our friendships, our relationship with them in truth. You know, they receive from us, right? And this is part of you're a leader in an outreach and a church planner and heart and a pioneer. And, you know, these are things that as we grow in our experiences, pastors and leaders, you know, to demand something of somebody is pretty difficult. You know, they don't respond well to demand, right? But to create a capacity in somebody to want to be a part and want to respond is huge. So,
So,
we have people in our lives that we trust, right? And, you know, if Pastor Schauer decides to sit me down and say, hey, I just wanted to maybe help you out here.
Please do.
I use this expression a lot, but it's like going to the chiropractor. It kind of hurts, but man, there's relief at the end, right? Because what is the motive behind that? You know, the motive is restoring me to the place where I can be used by God in the body of Christ.
Wow, yeah.
Right? And we're members in particular, and we have every joint supplies. And if we're not able to supply, thank God we have people in our lives who are willing to say, hey, Barry, you know, I just noticed this thing. And we all have, you know, there are voices that are from God, and then there are voices that are not always from God. And we've had both things happen, you know. There are people sometimes that comment on things with the purest of motives, but they don't, you know, they don't get God's mind thoroughly on it. And I've been in that place where maybe I've said something, and then later the Holy Spirit's pricked my heart that, do you know the whole situation? Do you know the condition? So,
yeah, because why was another reason why is a law made is to shut our mouths, right? What is that in Romans 3 or 4, or where am I at?
Yeah.
Am I? What is that? Jehu? Romans 3, 4? Are you taking a Romans class this year? To shut our mouths. Is it Romans 3? Let's see.
I'm just letting it shut my mouth right now.
Thank you. But that's the beauty of it too, though. Like, it's here to shut our mouths. And it also in Ecclesiastes, it talks like, let the words of my mouth be few. It's like, there's such a importance to that saying, just like, I don't need to speak as much. Now, 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God, the whole world. And so it's a great thing. It causes us like, wow, like, I have no say, you know. I'm here to listen, really, and that's a beautiful thing to be able to listen, and I think as you grow, you're right. We're talking about sanctification being set apart. As you grow, you don't react as much, you know, and you're more of aware and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing. We have to receive the Holy Spirit, correct?
Yeah.
That's the last time I remember. We still have to receive the Holy Spirit. So do we also have to let the Holy Spirit allow him into areas of my life? Allow him into a certain... Is he going to intrude, you know, right away? Maybe he will. But I like the idea of just like, I've received him too as well. I allowed him in my heart. But let me take him here to my work too as well. Let me carry him like with me always. Yeah. Just, it's like an awareness and sensitivity. The Holy Spirit, you're here and you're active. I want you to work.
Yeah, we were sealed with the Spirit at the point of salvation. Yes. So we have the Holy Spirit in us, but do we walk in the Spirit? Mm-hmm. Are we filled with the Spirit on a in a practical sense, in a day-to-day basis? You know, do we stop in the morning and say, you know, I need you, Father. I need you like never before. I need you this morning. I need you, you know, I want to walk in truth. And something, I'm glad you said that about sanctification again, because an interesting thought that I had written down earlier is that because justification is once and for all, right? It's an irreversible act of God. We know from Hebrews 10 that there's a sacrifice that was made once and for all that satisfied everything that God needed to have satisfied in the ultimate, you know, satisfaction and sacrifice, right? But the sanctification of a Christian, so that doesn't add to his standing before God, right? Believers can't lose their standing before God because of sin, even though we might get dealt with because of sin, right? So this is a key distinction, is that my relationship with God is no longer a sin issue. This is why earlier I was joking about, let's go fight sin.
Yeah.
Because that issue's already been dealt with.
Yes, correct.
The sacrifice.
That's amazing.
Like, and this is why we say, you know, what do I have to sacrifice Christ anew? God forbid, right? Mm. Because his sacrifice stands once and for all.
Yeah.
So it's no longer a sin issue, but it's a relationship issue now, right? Now, does that mean that my spiritual hearing can get dulled? Of course it does, right? We talk about spiritual earwax.
Yeah.
God speaks, but, you know, sometimes I can't hear him because I'm so occupied with my flesh, or I've been dulled in my hearing because of my failure. Mm. So I'm walking in sin instead of walking in truth. Then my ability to walk with God is dulled. That hearing is dulled. But that doesn't change the fact that I'm a believer still.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And yesterday we talked about apathy and we talked about hyper-spirituality. And again, that's a false balance. One is hyper-spirituality is that, again, like legalism, that I think I can add something to the picture, and apathy, or, you know, that I'm sitting there lethargic and not doing anything because God did it all. Well, God calls us to an active lifestyle, right? And I don't just mean physically. You're a guy who knows about physical active lifestyles, right? But in the truth of our lives as believers, he calls us to use us.
Yeah.
This is an amazing point. So, and it's a relationship issue, right?
Yeah, and it's based on his measure too as well. You know, not everyone's going to be a pastor, or not everyone's going to be a crazy evangelist going on the mission field.
Exactly.
So if I can be real and just say, hey, like, God, use me in my capacity, whatever it may be, you know, maybe just, you know, being a good husband, you know, this, you know, which is not simple. I was going to say as simple as that, but I don't. As I'm getting married soon, I'm learning that's not. Yeah, pray for me. I got 58 days to the wedding. Yeah,
how many minutes and seconds.
No, I don't know that far. But in Acts chapter, I think 7.
Hey, while you're turning there, just to accentuate this point.
Yes.
So you're getting married, right? You're marrying somebody who loves you, right? Mm-hmm. You're marrying somebody who you have a relationship with. And when you get married, you'll be officially married. You'll have a ring on your finger, right? You'll have a commitment one to another. You'll be established as a married couple. Mm-hmm. Does that mean you'll never have difficulties or differences? You know, you like to think so. But the reality is, and I've been married, 30 years plus, right?
Yeah.
I'm not that old enough to have been married 30 years, but somehow, miraculously, I got married when I was 6, I think, or my wife was 4. But
oh my gosh.
But no, so we've been married for 30 years.
Wow.
I can tell you, you know, our marriage is perfect because God ordained it, and you know, we have commitment one to another, but along the way, there's difficulties, right? And your relationship is what's important, not your ability to be flawless. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, sometimes when we blow it, because we're going to blow it in our, you know, we're going to treat somebody like we're going to be selfish. We're going to say, you know, this marriage is about me and why aren't you conforming to me? And reality, it's the exact opposite, right? But there's going to be a time in that relationship where I say to my spouse, you know, I blew it and I'm sorry. My attitude was poor or, and that's only going to grow the relationship.
Yes.
Right. Wow. So it's not, legalism would say, if you failed, you know, you're falling short in your marriage. Grace says, no, actually, you know, antinomianism would say, you can't do anything about it, so don't even try. Grace says, listen, you dropped the ball, right? But grace says I can go to her and say, hey, I'm sorry, I want to do this the right way. I want to have God's mind in the situation, and it actually grows the relationship.
Wow.
So it's not a failure that's happened. It's a grace gift, an opportunity, you know, and God's not the author of that failure, but he sure likes to use the results of that failure to his glory. So,
wow, that's good. That was good. So it's in Paul again, he says a lot in Romans 6 and 7, like, know ye not. And that term means like, don't be ignorant,
really, in
the Greek.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it could be. It's like an ignorance of, wow, this me coming into a brand new relationship or whatever, maybe a new job, and thinking I can't learn from anything, or I'm holier than now. I have everything figured out. It's me being very ignorant, and I have walls up that I don't even know.
Yeah.
And there's no room for like the Holy Spirit to work and to allow that process to go in me. As what you're saying, I'm coming and I'm like, wow, I'm not perfect. I did make a mistake there. And that's like vulnerability.
Yeah.
And that's so like key. Yeah. And that's so beautiful because you're learning, you know, and we continue to make mistakes and we keep going down that route, but wow, the grace of God restores us, you know, and he'll give me the strength to carry on. And
And your wife in the relationship doesn't say, oh, it's okay, Jesse, you can keep doing that. Keep making that mistake again and again, right?
Yeah.
I learned from that mistake. and the fact that there was grace only endears me more in the relationship to not want to offend the person in that area, right? So it's the argument that the grace of God just gives us a license to fail and to sin doesn't stand, because the fruit of that would be hatred or, you know, disappointment, breaking the relationship. We're actually drawn to the relationship with God because of the grace that he gives us. It actually gives us capacity to say, oh my gosh, I dropped the ball in such a big way, and all he did was extend his mercy towards me.
Yeah.
And he gave me another opportunity and showed me didn't just give me an opportunity, but showed me how to do it the right way.
Wow. Yeah.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had like one example of like a legalistic kind of point of view. It's an Ananias in Acts 9 when Apostle Paul is now blind, and then Ananias gets the vision, and then Ananias answered him in verse 13 of chapter 9. I've heard by many, and that's like, there it is.
Yeah.
I've heard by many. Where are you getting your information from? Who are you hearing it from?
Popular opinion says.
Yes, and it's a lot of judgment, and it's confusing and distorting the mind, you know? And so he said, I've heard by many this man, how much evil he has done. All the wicked things I've heard about his sin. Look at his failures. And this is what, like, the legalistic almost, like, he doesn't match up to the law, to these standards. And God beautifully says, go thy way, you know, turn away, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. And that's so beautiful. It's like we all can have, like, grace, you know, for everybody, but who am I to say that person who, maybe on the outwardly we could see they failed, but like, I need to see past that, right? Doesn't Christ do that? Yeah. He always sees past it. Go thy way. Get out of your way. you know, and go this different way. Because the way you're going with these other people here, and I know, yes. I know what the evil he has done. We don't need to put more on him.
Right.
No, love him up. He's a chosen vessel. Go and restore this man.
Mm. Restore John chapter him. 8, we started with it, with the woman taking the, yes. the issue of adultery. And, you know, the beautiful thing there, right, is that this woman had failed. Mm-hmm. She actually had failed.
Yeah.
Right? Her accusers stood against her. And what was the point that was made was, let he who's without sin cast the first stone. Mm-hmm. None of them were able to live up to the standard of righteousness, right? The law, none of them could, this, you know, the law as it was, none of them were. And we, you know, as you brought up earlier, it was systematically from the youngest to the oldest, right?
From the oldest to the youngest.
That they were like, you know, it was exposed. They knew in their hearts that they weren't able to keep the law. But the grace of God showed, you know, where are your accusers? Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I don't accuse you either.
Wow.
Right. But then the beauty of it is he tells her, go, you know, go and don't live in this. Wow. Don't live in this. Right. You know?
Wow.
So, maybe to complete the thought here, we're just thinking about walking in balance, you know, walking in truth, walking in God's righteousness. How do I, as a believer, you know, how do I prevent myself from being legalistic? How do I prevent myself from having the opposite reaction, which is, you know, saying that I don't have to do anything because it's the grace of God. And it is the grace of God, right? Mm-hmm. I am not capable of doing anything. My good works cannot produce a single thing for God. But my faith obedience to God can produce fruit, right? This is sanctification, that I'm growing in my grace and knowledge, that he's imparting, you know, he's imputed righteousness to us, but then he's also imparting righteousness to us on a daily basis. And, you know, I'm not sinless, but I can sure walk less and less in sin. Which gives me the opportunity to get to know him, you know, more and more as along the way. I am just a guy who's going to fail.
Yeah.
You know, I wake up in the morning and I'm a flashback. Galatians chapter 5, Pastor Scheller talked about it last week and we talked about it on the show yesterday. There's the sarx, the flesh, right? Mm-hmm. And God didn't just improve that. You know, he didn't just improve our flesh and give us a better quality of flesh. But he gave us a brand new heart, a brand new nature at salvation. In our present condition, we still have that fleshly heart. And from time to time, we step into it, right?
Yeah.
We make a decision based on the old man.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, God is faithful to show us that that old man decision can't stand in his presence. But standing in the presence of God means I can operate in the new nature, and I can have a beautiful, beautiful salvation, you know, and it's not just in heaven, but it's here on earth.
Yeah. And we show up with dirty rags and, you know, we have an accuser, but, you know, God sees, he's like, what are you talking about? He's clean. He sees his son.
Yes.
And that's beautiful, you know?
And at the end of that, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, when it's been exposed how frail and how, you know, my own depravity, and then equally as amazing is, despite all that, that God chooses to use us in ways that are so far above and beyond, right? And I think the fact, you know, who is God using today? He's using people who realize that without him, they're nothing, but with him, they are something.
Yes.
Because it's all about him. So this is a grace message, you know. This is the grace message doesn't teach us to live in lawlessness. Mm-hmm. It teaches us to live in Christ. And that's why walking in the Spirit is such an awesome thing, and we're learning about that daily.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, these are great thoughts.
Yeah.
I think we're actually running out of time here this morning, but any closing thoughts you want to make here, Jesse?
Well, I was going to ask kind of you. So with grace, like, what is the purpose? I know we kind of, but to wrap it up and confine it, like, how do I use the law? How do I grow in that? Because maybe a new believer or someone who hasn't really known much or has a lot of doctrine, how do I come in and read the law? And what is the law? Like, what are they talking about? The Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
like, how do I use a law where it's like, oh wow, like it's actually showing like the holiness of God and like the incapable part of me to like fully like follow that.
Yeah.
But then it shows the grace and just the mercy of who God is. And so like for maybe new believers or people, like what is the law in like 2023? Like,
yeah.
Why do we need it?
Well, I think you have a thought in your heart about it that you just answered. It's a great point, like,
yeah,
you know, what's the purpose of the scripture, right? What the purpose of the scripture is that I may get to know him. When he directs us to do something, to walk in his righteousness, there's going to be areas that I fail in, but also at the same time there's going to be, as my phone is ringing off the hook here. I'm sorry, I got distracted.
We got a caller, and it's Dave. How you doing, Dave?
I'm pretty certain he's calling about a school issue, however. we could have another whole show on that, but in short, you know, we're not saying any way, shape, or form that the law is a schoolmaster, right? It teaches us that we're incapable, but
yes,
at the same time, it's the perfect law of liberty, right? It's the perfect law. Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled that law, and he gave us an opportunity to have a relationship with him. He does the fulfilling of the law. We're incapable, but we walk every single day after his will, right? Not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. His words to his Father, our words to him are the same, you know, that my heart would be fixed on him, that we don't embrace good works on our own as the means of our salvation, but the character and nature of God is what teaches us every single day, you know, how to know him, how do we have victory in areas of our life, you know, through him, through him. He teaches us how to have victory. So, you know, I need to get to know this word, because this word
key, yes,
from the beginning to the end, right, is his love letter towards us. It's his instruction book. It's, you know, I always say to the kids in the high school, can you know the 100% accuracy, the will of God for your life? Well, no, but maybe, you know, 75% from the book, which tells you to pray without ceasing, to study, to show yourself approved, to esteem one another higher than yourself. Like all those little things that we are taught in the scripture that are teaching us how to walk in truth. And then as we do that, he's able to speak to us about the other 25% and lead us in our lives.
Yes. I think you like hit it, but it's about restoring the relationship. It's a relationship issue.
Absolutely.
And, the law is beautiful, like Psalm 119, you know, it talks about the law, you know, many times. And I had a thought I was going to go somewhere with it. But
Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way, you know? But
Heed
every word of the scripture teaches us, right?
And he came not to destroy the law.
Yeah.
Why? The laws, it's eternal. It's God's word.
Yeah.
Like, this is amazing that we have something that's eternal
in
our grasp now
in
this temporal time. Yeah. And so to lay a hold of this, and this will direct our steps. When I have issues or questions, where do I go? Do I go to all these other people, men telling me about different things? No, I go to the law, you know, because he's going to speak through his word.
Yeah, and maybe that's a great way to leave it, is that it's not through our ability to keep the law that gives us a spiritual life with God. We already we already determined we can't keep the law, right? But it's in our ability to have our relationship with him healthy.
Yes.
Right? And where does he lives in truth. He operates in truth. He's the one who upholds truth, right? He created the world by his word, and he upholds the world by his truth, right? So it's our ability to know him personally in that truth that gives us, that is the playbook for our lives, how to walk in truth.
Playbook. He's dropping football terms. He's ready.
Well, friends, hey, thank you for joining us on this edition. It's been an interesting 45 minutes or an hour here. No monitors, nobody to give us a hard time, just having a great time. And it is our blessing to be able to be with you. The Grace Hour Show is a ministry of Greater Grace Church here in Baltimore, Maryland. Join us tonight for our service. If you're in the area, 7 p.m. every Wednesday evening, we have our services here. Why do we come to services? Because we get to hear.
Because we're required?
We hear them. Not because we're required.
Oh.
Although, if you work on staff, you should be there. but because this is where we get to hear his word.
Right? Oh, I need it. Amen. Yeah.
So, hey, have a great day. Yes. Sundays also, you can join us 9, 11, and 6:30 p.m. 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6:30 p.m. You join us and come see us tonight and be a part of the service. All right. God bless you. Have a great day. Jesse, thanks for being here with me, and great being with you.
Thank you, PB.